Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Day 268 brings us back to the book of Deuteronomy for Deuteronomy chapter 19. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the privilege of being in your word day by day, for the ways that you're teaching us, the ways that you're challenging us, the ways that you're growing us. Continue to be our teacher and our guide through Deuteronomy 19 this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When the Lord your God cuts off the nations whose land the Lord your God is giving you, and you dispossess them and dwell in their cities and in their houses, you shall set apart three cities for yourselves in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. You shall measure the distances and divide into three parts the area of the land that the Lord your God gives you as a possession, so that any manslayer can flee to them. This is the provision for the manslayer, who by fleeing there may save his life. If anyone kills his neighbor unintentionally, without having hated him in the past, as when someone goes into the forest with his neighbor to cut wood, and his hand swings the axe to cut down a tree, and the head slips from the handle and strikes his neighbor so that he dies, he may flee to one of these cities and live, lest the avenger of blood, in hot anger, pursue the manslayer and overtake him, because the way is long, and strike him fatally, though the man did not deserve to die, since he had not hated his brother in the past. Therefore I command you, you shall set apart three cities. And if the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as he has sworn to your fathers, and gives you all the land that he promised to give to your fathers, provided you are careful to keep all this commandment which I command you today by loving the Lord your God and walking ever in his ways, then you shall add three other cities to these three, lest innocent blood be shed in your land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance, and so the guilt of bloodshed be upon you. But if anyone hates his neighbor and lies in wait for him and attacks him and strikes him fatally so that he dies and he flees into one of these cities, then the elders of his city shall send and take him from there and hand him over to the avenger of blood so that he may die. Your eye shall not pity him, but you shall purge the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, so that it may be well with you. You shall not move your neighbor's landmark, which the men of old have set, in the inheritance that you will hold in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. A single witness shall not suffice against a person for any crime or any wrong in connection with any offense that he has committed. Only on the evidence of two witnesses or of three witnesses shall a charge be established. If a malicious witness arises to accuse a person of wrongdoing, then both parties to the dispute shall appear before the Lord, before the priests and the judges who are in office in those days. The judges shall inquire diligently, and if the witness is a false witness and has accused his brother falsely, then you shall do to him as he had meant to do to his brother. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. And the rest shall hear and fear, and never again commit any such evil among you. Your eyes shall not pity. It shall be life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. That is Deuteronomy 19. Here God is establishing justice in the land. Now, today, in our sermon from Isaiah, we're going to be hearing a lot about what God says about righteousness and justice in the land and how important those things are. Righteousness is when the principles of living align with God's holy standard, with his law. Justice is when those things are enacted in a society effectively through law, through precept and code, and through judgment by judges. So God is establishing standards for righteousness and for justice. The standard for righteousness is that you are careful to keep the commandment which I command you today, verse 9, by loving the Lord your God and by walking ever in his ways. That's righteousness. Righteousness is to say, God has spoken, God is holy, God has revealed his will. We will love the Lord our God, and we will walk according to his ways. That's righteousness. Justice is when then, on a societal level, you implement just laws and just decisions. And that's what God is upholding here in Deuteronomy 19 and telling his people how to uphold in their society. And one of them is the principle of what we would call accidental manslaughter, right? Or negligent homicide, you know, not willful homicide, but just negligent. And it still carries a penalty. You have to flee to a city of refuge, and you have to actually stay there in the city of refuge. This is spelled out earlier in the law, but the requirement was you had to stay in that city of refuge until the death of the high priest, who was currently serving in office. So it was a prison sentence of sorts, in that you were not necessarily in a prison like we would think of it, but you had to go live in a foreign city that wasn't your own, and you had to stay there because there is a consequence for taking someone else's life, even if it's accidental. You know, in this axe head idea, well, you should have made sure your axe head was tight, sharpened, and secure. You shouldn't be negligent, right? And so negligence leading to a death is something that requires a consequence, but it shouldn't cost you your life because you didn't willingly take the other person's life in anger and in malice. But if you do take someone else's life in anger and in malice, then you should pay for that, life for life. There should be no ransom for someone who commits a premeditated murder, because if you take someone's life willfully and intentionally, the only appropriate penalty is that your life should be taken. Now, because God upheld justice as being so important, and because God is realistic and knows how people can be, God says it has to be two or three witnesses that establish a matter. You can't just take one person who might have a malicious, you know, axe to grind against someone else and go after them. And in fact, the penalty for being a false witness is that if you are a false witness and you accuse someone, whatever penalty you were seeking against that person is going to be put on you. Now that, if it was consistently enforced, would really make people think about going after their neighbor, because if they don't have corroborating evidence, if they don't have corroborating witnesses, and it's shown that they're making it up, they're going to have to suffer the consequence that they were wanting to impose on their neighbor. And in that case, God says it's too important. You shall not pity. It's too important because you can't let people make false accusations. Now, if you understand things like this, and these are principles of justice, you can understand how in our society today, like, we've gone way, way, way away from these things, right? There's something like 10,000 homicides a year in America, and yet very, very few people are ever really held accountable for those. In terms of really, if you willfully take someone's life, your life is forfeit. Like, even a life imprisonment is not really normal for a lot of the homicides that take place in America, many of which just go unsolved because they're said to be gang-related and just, you know. And then on the other side, you do have people who get falsely accused and falsely imprisoned because it is just one person's eyewitness testimony, and that person's not necessarily the most reliable witness. It actually turns out that eyewitness testimony can be very fallible and very subject to manipulation by outside pressure. And so we, like, the American justice system, I'm sorry, is just very, very far from what God lays out as being good standards of justice, where innocent blood is protected, where life is valued, and where testimony has to be accurate, or else you suffer a real consequence if you're maliciously bringing false witness against someone. Why should we care about these things as Christians? I mean, we don't live in a theocracy. We're not in Israel. We're not seeing the word of God being put into place within our country, and that's really not appropriate because we're not in an Old Testament age. We're not in a theocracy, right? We're in a country that's under the rule of law, but we should still care about justice because justice issues are part of loving our neighbor. We're still called to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And caring about justice issues is a way of caring about our neighbors. And we should want to see that all of our neighbors are treated fairly and justly and equitably, right? And that crime is punished, the innocent are protected, and that those who would seek to bear false witness are also dealt with. because these are important things, and we shouldn't necessarily be hyper political advocates for things, but we should be a voice that says justice matters and protecting innocent human life matters and upholding the rule of law matters, because that's what causes human flourishing and that's what God has designed for the world. It's also a reminder to us that in this fallen world, we're always going to live with injustice. Israel was given a law directly from God, and they had God's presence in their midst, and even they were far from implementing it the way that they should have, which just reminds us that never in this life are we ever going to see perfect justice. That's only going to come when the Lord Jesus comes again, and so it can cause our hearts to long and cry out again for another reason, come quickly, Lord Jesus, because of course, in the new heavens and the new earth, there will be no sin, there will be no crime, there will be no need for these kinds of retributive, punitive justice, because the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the seas, and there will be peace and perfection. And so our hearts can long for that, even as we ache for the fact that our society is so far from biblical standards of justice. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and what it teaches us. Help us to be those who would be salt and light in our communities and in our culture, to speak the truth in love, to stand up for what is right, and to try to defend those who are being victimized by crime or violence or whatever. But Father, also cause our hearts to long for the return of Jesus, because when he comes, he is the righteous judge who will make all things right. Thank you that our sins have been removed because of his sacrifice for us, and that we can look forward to that day with joy and not with dread. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, that's Deuteronomy 19. Join me tomorrow. We're going to be moving on to Deuteronomy 20. Hope you can join us. Have a blessed day in the Lord.